Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, the Perfect Plex Talk Radio, which was yesterday. As you can see right now, I'm a little discombobulated. Stolen Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Richmond, Hopewell, Virginia. You are tuned in. You are locked in to yours truly, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spelled my name with three X's because in 4 days, the world will talk Black Panther. Welcome to the best and worst of the weekend. But as always, people, first, the particulars. Number to call in is 347-637-3859. Have a take and don't suck, as Jim Rohn would say. But we know that the lines are always on fire. Avoid the clack, Jimmy Dugan. You're just here to listen, so listen, you shall. And we got a show for you. Best and worst of the weekend. Listen to thinking, what was this weekend in sports? What was the president? Was it UFC 221, no one really cared. No one really watched it if he was not a diehard MMA fan. But what you did watch was you get a trade and you get a trade and you get a trade. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 2-0 since the trade. So the question we ask you today, has the Cleveland Cavaliers done enough? Are they now the prohibitive favorites also? As I wear my heart on my sleeve, we will discuss the Doozy Awards. It's time for the eighth annual Doozy Awards. We will break down the worst in the past year in sports and entertainment. Talk about it. Get you ready for what's going to be probably one of the biggest Doozy Awards of all time. The awards are so big, we don't even spell it right. D-O-Z-Z-Y. The Doozy Awards. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the world is captivated by the motion picture known as Marvel Cinematic Universe's Black Panther. Let's talk about it. Has the world been engulfed too much? Has the black community given it too much credit? Are you ready for this movie? Let's talk about the impact that Black Panther has had the community. As always, people, I'm not here by myself. Make sure you go and follow us on Twitter. I am loud, as you can tell, I speak loud. Follow me on Twitter by my name, St. Ari Pajada, spell it Mike Knox with 3 X's. Also, the station giving you the identification, 1340 AM Fox Sports. And also, make sure you're out there following my social media to the icon, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, the show, the pose, listen to King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter. But as always, you gotta stop my hero alone. I am joined by no other than my brother. I mean, well, he's from another mother. I mean, my brother. What's going on, Micah? I mean, Richard on Twitter to you people.
Man, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you what happened this weekend. Me being amazed and seeing stuff. cracking jokes on social media and wondering what the world has happened with one LeBron Horatio Rodriguez James. He's smiling. He all happy and stuff. What kind of, man, let me tell you something. That dude be acting like a queen too much to be calling himself the king. Just saying, Mike. Just saying.
The queen
court.
Are you saying LeBron the girl? Is that what you're saying?
All I'm saying is that LeBron be doing some suspect things, not to the level of Odell Beckham Jr. But I'm just saying, like, you chase off the guy who gave you the game-winning shot to set up your block. You chase him away. And he's now another teammate. He's happier with life without you. What kind of teammate are you really behind the scenes? Just saying. I'm just saying. Like, some people are a little hard. Some people are hard not to hang around. You know, my favorite quarterback, of course, my quarterback, Peyton Manning. Now everybody say he was the most friendliest guy to work with. Tom Brady, obviously, we see what kind of work ethic he has. We know he ain't the easiest to work with. Sometimes very successful and high-level people. I mean, Michael Jordan punched a teammate. I mean, we know they're hard to work with. But, I mean, most of the guys are men about it. LeBron be doing some long passive-aggressive, diva, you know, female-type stuff with his when he wants to chase somebody off. That's all I'm saying.
Every moment you get, you use it to bash LeBron. You use it to bash Draymond. You use it to bash just to be a basher. Are you a basher?
Yes. Call me the Bash Brothers, man. Come on. You remember that? The Bash Brothers. You know what it is, man. Call me a bushwhacker, the third one, the black one. They didn't talk about me much.
Okay, so you're like Big Dick Dudley and Spike Dudley and that other Dudley that they killed off at ECW after like the second appearance. You're that guy. You're that basher.
That's the one I am.
So are you a Bash Brother or a Basham Brother? Remember the Basham Brothers that Shaniqua was the manager of? They ended up being in Danielle's cabinet. Are you a Basham Brother or are you talking about you're a steroid Bash Brother with Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco? So you're thinking even
though
you're
Shaniqua, are you getting
the whip done to you by the black Shaniqua? Which one?
You're trying to make sure I understand who you are.
Okay.
Shaniqua had legs, bro. She was out to Amazon right there, bro. Just saying.
Who else we got? Anybody else we got on with us on the line today?
You got your brother from Philadelphia, man.
Oh, well, bring in not known as Jilly from Philly, but Philly's own Jay Chris. Jay Chris, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas, man? It's a wonderful day here in Philadelphia yet again. And I don't know, Mike. I couldn't follow Mike on the bash. He started out and I was fine, and he kind of went somewhere else, and he's talking about the blocker and the game and the shot, and I just wasn't sure where we were going with it. And maybe we can get into it later because I kind of got lost, but, you know, I don't know if it's a Bash Brother, Basham Brother. You guys confused me.
I lose everybody.
He confused me, so I wanted to know myself. I'm sitting here literally, guys, before we go on air, the power went out in the whole entire neighborhood, which means one thing that only had happened. Some moron hit a power block because the whole neighborhood is out. And the fact that I'm even speaking to you guys this long is simply amazing. I'm sitting next to the windowsill, out of my office. I live in Florida, people. Orlando, Florida, although we broadcast live in Virginia, okay? But we also live on Blog Talk Radio, BDSR Networks. You know, we do that thing in 9 years, almost 2,000 episodes. I'm not going to bury Harvard myself. Hold on, wait. I am going to bear hard with myself. And you too. You too, Jay Craig. You too, King Paul Jr. You too, Hugo. You too, the A-Team, Impact, everybody. Bear hard with yourself. We're almost on 2,000 episodes. Even Sunday Salvation should give herself a Barry Horowitz on the back. Hold on. I got you. Anyway, sorry. Enough of that. But you can find us wherever podcasts are sold, which are free. Just simply just type in BDSR Network. That's BDSIR, stands for Best Damn Show and Radio. Just type in Mike Knox with 3 X's. I've told you people how to spell it by now. You know, big or small, it doesn't matter. Mike Knox likes them all. Shout out to my man. He's resting in peace, Mike. Awesome. But we're talking sports this weekend, Jay Chris. I'm having the hardest time because as a sports fan, right, getting tired is my favorite line. Thank you, Mary J. Blige. Of being sick and tired, because I'm sick and tired of the fans, already in football fans, telling me to shut up. okay, Eagle fan, you won your championship. I had to eat crow for 52 years. I mean, I'm only 42 years old, right? But for 52 years, I've had to hear, y'all ain't got no Super Bowl. So how dare you tell me today and yesterday and the day before yesterday to just be quiet and be happy? I got 51 more weeks to talk trash. You know why? Because we are the champions until someone else is crowned. You want to crown their asses? Then crown their asses. And guess who's crowned? I ain't talking about Black Panther. We're going to talk about him later. We're not talking about the King of Chala. We're not talking about him. We're not talking about him. We're talking about the kings of the NFL, and we're still talking about the kings of the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles. Because even going on today, J. Chris, Micah, the biggest news is the Patriots still, the Patriots fan base, the Patriots organization. But the Eagles are the ones that are getting purged, you know. By the way, there's another purge movie coming out. This one kind of loosely based around Donald Trump. Can't wait to see this one. Okay.
Yeah, man, that's kind of bad.
I'm being honest. I saw the subplot of the movie. It's loosely based on, you know, Donald Trump's America and what people are afraid of him, by the way, the celebrity in chief. But they're purging the Eagles' offensive line coach, the quarterback coach. Jay Chris, two questions. First part of the two-part question is, you know, you've been an Eagle fan, so you need a shot. I know you're in Philly, but other fans, and two, the purging of the Eagles' offensive team here, the quarterback coach Don Filippo, the offensive coach Frank Wright, are these big losses to the Philadelphia Eagles, and can they move on past these losses in all seriousness?
All right, to answer your first question, though, I'm not getting a whole bunch of flack from any fans because, you know, they know not to come at me like that because I'll shut them down real quick. They know this. You know, they can hit me with the argument, well, you know, you finally got your little. Of course, they say little, that's hating. So if somebody says, yeah, you got your little ring, that's hating. They're hating on your ring. When they put little in front of it, they're hating. All right, that goes with them. Got a little girlfriend, now, hating. They're hating. Got a little bit of money, they're hating. Okay? So, you know, I don't let those haters bother. To go on to your second question about the purge of the Eagles coaching staff, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, and so forth and so on, can they come back from this? Oh, yeah, they can definitely come back from this. Okay. You know, one of the big situations is Doug Peterson is he was also a quarterback coach. Frank Wright, who was hired by Micah's Colts, was the quarterback coach. He's a former quarterback in his own right. They were both backup quarterbacks. They know the game. They understand the position. When you're a backup, you learn a lot more than you do on the field, quite honest. So, you know, that is, you know, that has given a lot to the success of Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. Will they come back? They're going to have to come back from it because, you know, they have a lot of great coaches within the organization. Deuce Staley is one of the names that's coming up as being hired as the offensive coordinator to replace.
He was really the offensive coordinator anyway. Let's be real. The offensive coordinator is not Frank Wright, right? Just like,
well,
with all fairness, Doug Peterson wasn't really offensive coordinator in Kansas City. It was still Andy Reid.
Doug Peterson called the plays. So I really feel like Deuce will fall into the role of putting offense together, but Doug Peterson's still going to call the plays. So he won't have that pressure on him. I don't know if Deuce is ready to call the plays yet. Could be. I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe I'll ask him next time I see him at the poker table. But the way he managed the running back situation was great. I thought it was phenomenal. People questioned it a lot earlier in the season. Why wasn't LeGarrette Blount in this game? Why wasn't it Ajayi playing? You know, he managed it great. They ended up winning a Super Bowl, so everything was well. And running back, maybe wide receiver is the only bigger ego-driven position on the field. Running backs have big egos too. They want the ball, all right? They want to thrive. So he managed those personalities and was able to get everybody have some success.
They're still going to be okay.
I think they're going to be okay. It depends. They have to fill those spots with Ryman. They lost DeFilippo, who, if anybody knows, DeFilippo was being looked at last season to fill some to fill some coaching spots. The Eagles blocked any talks from DeFilippo because there was thoughts that DeFilippo was going to be Doug Peterson's successor if Doug Peterson didn't do well this year.
Why did they do it again this year? But, you know, Frank Wright has a history with Michael's Colts, so he's kind of back there. Why not continue to do the blocking? I mean, I guess it's kind of wrong to prevent someone from getting a job, but it's been known they've done it before. It's been done again this year with other teams.
At some point, you got to let people spread their wings. And like I said,
DeFilippo
was looked at.
I don't want to spread wings and fly away. I want them to stay.
DeFilippo was looked at as Doug Peterson's successor. If Doug Peterson did not do well, Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl. See, you ain't getting rid of him anytime soon. So why not let DeFilippo spread his wings and get an opportunity? I mean, this happens with every Super Bowl winning team. They go after the coaches that won the Super Bowl because they think they have the formula. The only team that it happened to that didn't win the Super Bowl was Andy Reid's team, where their coaches went on to do. You got Rivera, you had Harbaugh, you had Childress, all those guys going on to, you know, coach other teams, and they didn't even win the Super Bowl. So.
No, they didn't.
It's to be expected. We thought we were in the clear, but it's to be expected.
Let me direct that towards Micah. His Colts pick up the Eagles' offensive coordinator and Frank Wright. He returns. He was a quarterback coach, and I believe he also had some offensive coordinator duties there before. If I'm not too far incorrect there, you know, this is not the show for statisticians. We can read stats. We can find stats just like, you know, you can too. There's a machine that was invented called Google. We can all look up things. I'm not going to say act like I look at the ins and outs of the game. I look at the meat and potatoes. Okay. I don't just look at, you know, LeBron's stats and say he's the best because his stats say that. But when you guys refuse to look past the fact that he spent 4 years in the league before most of the other players did. Okay, because you skipped high school. But we're going to talk about LeBron right now. We'll talk about him later. You, Micah, Indianapolis Colts. Is this the coach that you wanted? Are you happy with this decision? Do you think he can be better for your team? Because your team is a lot more than a coach. It ain't an offensive line to protect that quarterback, or he will be back on the shelf. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to, first of all, thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate y'all allowing us to be able to have someone who knows how to coach the quarterback position. Okay. Ever notice, one, Mike Knox and Jay Chris, anytime you have a defensive-minded head coach and a possible franchise-altering quarterback, that franchise-altering quarterback doesn't necessarily flourish under the defensive-minded head coach. Now, we ain't talking about outliers like Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning can take anybody to the Super Bowl. He's done it with four different coaches. We ain't counting them, okay? I'm just saying, a Chuck Pagano, a Jeff Fisher, you know, Romeo Crennel, you know, really, really defensive-minded guy. The quarterbacks have a tendency to suffer if they don't have a good offensive coordinator to back them up in their system. Your offensive coordinator, who is now my head coach, I am thankful to have him because – he took a guy who everyone was thinking and projecting how he was going to play based on what he did in St. Louis under a defensive-minded head coach, just saying, who outside the outlier of Steve McNair, never had really a good quarterback and never really developed a quarterback very well. They took that Nick Foles and thought that he wasn't going to do anything. And that's just logical projection. You go, well, he was this guy here. He most likely going to be the same guy there. But, see, most people miss context. The context that they miss, Mike, is that you have two guys who are backup quarterbacks. There's some really good quarterbacks now. They ain't just backup anybody. They're backup some really good quarterbacks. And so they understood the fundamentals of the game. One dude laughed at me in a sports group that I follow on Facebook, and he was like, well, how can David Carr accurately tell if a college quarterback is good or not? Because David Carr actually played in the NFL. It's not his fault that he got hit 8,000 times. He didn't have no offensive line. But he obviously knows something to be able to get drafted and play in the NFL to a certain extent. So analysis says that when you have an offensive-minded head coach who played the position, then chances are that quarterback is going to flourish. Prime example, Jim Harbaugh and Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick was throwing that. He was slinging that thing on the Jim Harbaugh. And then those elements in which he had and learned on the Jim Harbaugh stayed with him after Jim Harbaugh left. And, you know, his team was trash, but he was one of the best things on his team. So if we're being honest about his athletic ability and his quarterback ability. So I'm very happy to have him. very happy to have his thought process. And you know what? If he inherited that aggressive personality from Doug Peterson, then I'm even more happy, because that means that we can actually compete in the AFC South. We're probably at the bottom of the barrel, though, because Deshaun Watson's coming back. And oh, gosh. And that defense ain't going nowhere in Houston. So I'm ready for Dark Angels,
y'all,
Mike.
Y'all went from having expectations of, like, being the cream of the crop in the division with your quarterback to talking about the true definition of first to last. Right, like you said, you got the emergence of cousin there of Jay Chris and Deshaun Watson, the mitten. Then you got the Jacksonville Jaguars shocking everyone and just being good. And then you have Tennessee, we still don't know what they are, but looking on paper, still better than Indianapolis Colts. 347-637-3859. Want to talk about the doozies today? Had on my list of the things, but they're on my computer, not my proverbial computer, my actual computer, which is dead because someone hit a power line and I have no power and I'm on my cell phone. So I will talk about this. And Jay Chris, this is really a thorn in my side. He brought up LeBron James and how he acted all smiles. He went from "we shouldn't be on national television" to all smiles. They rout the Celtics yesterday on Paul Pierce Day. Shout out to Paul Pierce. I like that little off-green jacket that he had on, being a lifetime Celtics hater. I respect the truth for what he did. That's the half Philadelphian in me that will always hate the Celtics and anything that comes out of Boston. But LeBron's all, excuse me, mama, shits and giggles now, right? He's just giggling away. He's all little LeBron again. But I had a chance to catch a clip from ESPN's First Take. I was going to play it today. I don't have it here. I'm not running the switchboard right now. Micah's on location, so I'm giving him minimum duties as possible. But the clip was Stephen A. Smith. Everybody knows my founding forefathers in radio is Stephen A. Smith, Jim Rome, Dan Patrick, and a Delaware artist by the name of Frank Nitti, better known as Franco. And he said, and I heard this, because, you know, y'all compared to
uh-oh, Mike, come back.
We lost his signal.
Yeah, man, and he's about to go ahead and go in on screaming A. Smith. I mean, excuse me, Stephen A. Stephen A. Smith. I do, you know, I want Stephen A. Smith and Mike Knox to go ahead and get in on that, because I'm trying to figure out who's going to have the most. Yelling at match between the two of them. I don't think Stephen A's ready for Mike Dodd. But he was about to say something
between
about
the
LeBron
two of them.
James. He was about to say something about LeBron James being all smiles and stuff like that. You back there, brother?
I'm back.
You back? Are you back and better than ever?
Yeah. Oh, no. The power.
All right.
I guess, yeah, I'm about to.
So Stephen A. Smith.
Where, you know, right. So Stephen A. Smith was, he had a simple so-called king. Why does the king always ask for so much help and need so much help? And it made me think, like, I don't want to compare him to Jordan. We can argue that another day, or even today if time takes us there. This is the barbershop. But what gets me is that he was really right. LeBron goes from Cleveland. He takes his shirt off. I will never forget people telling me LeBron didn't have a team in Cleveland. I disagree. Did he have a team of all-stars around him? No. But neither did Jordan. Neither did Dr. J. Neither did, you know, like, everybody wasn't the Lakers and the Celtics, okay, from the 80s that were really, really kind of stacked teams. If you look at the Lakers, they were stacked. Was Boston really stacked besides Larry Bird? No, they found a bunch of players that nobody wanted that just played really good together as a team. So I really, on paper and looking back and watching them and remembering them, the Boston Celtics wasn't a stacked team. Detroit Pistons wasn't a stacked team. They were just a great team. The word team. You win because you're a team. LeBron James continuously gets help. He runs from help. He pouts and doesn't get the help he wants. He gets the help he wants, and he's all smiles again. It's like my daughter, when I tell her no, she's upset. When I give her money, she's all smiles and wants to help out around the house. That's LeBron James. I'm sick and tired of this kid. I ripped him for years, calling him, you know, LaShawna James and DeWanna Wade and Christina Bosch and those little jabs at them. And I found a level of respect for him And I'm taking it back. I'm taking my power back to say LeBron James is to be like Mike at the top of the show, to be the so-called king, he's more or less the queen. A real king comes out in 3 days, okay, as we have our Wakandan Day for Black Panther. But the king, no, he to me, a king doesn't act the way that he acts and have to have the town around him to be the king. The king takes whatever. I don't want to go back to his first couple years in Cleveland where he really didn't have a team and he dunked his way to the finals. I'm not talking about that LeBron king. I'm talking about the team that he left before going to Miami. The team he left in Miami and came back to be Cleveland. He's constantly saying, give me this player, give me that player to be better. Why can't LeBron just be better, Wally?
You got LeBron. I kind of disagree. I'll give you the Miami thing. The Miami situation is a little different. The Miami is a little different situation. I think obviously when you bring in, I mean, Dwayne Wade, you bring in Chris Bosh and LeBron, that's a little different. I think in Cleveland, his first time, his first go around Cleveland, they really didn't help him. If you look at some of these great players that we refer to, you talk about Jordan, Jordan Magic, and even, you know, Kobe or Shaq or whatever. And at the end of the day, like their organization.
Stay there for a second. Stay right there for 1 second, Wally. 1 second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when we're comparing teams, we have to compare eras, right? We have to not only compare eras, we have to compare the landscape of the league and where the league is in that said era.
Agreed.
Besides the Lakers that you're a fan of, right, that gave you, you know, Magic and Kareem. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the Hall of Famers that's on that team. Everybody else was just role pieces. James Worthy became a Hall of Famer.
James Worthy, Hall of Famer.
Great, but he became a Hall of Famer, even though he was a high draft pick out of North Carolina. Right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Michael Jordan, say what you want, the hate aside, I'll put my fandom aside, made that team. Scottie wasn't the highest draft pick coming out of college.
No,
Michael,
not at all.
I remember the years, so besides Jordan and Pippen, they had a bunch of role players.
Agreed.
When I look at Cleveland, I see the same thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
They're different because when LeBron was in Cleveland, the first time there was nobody but LeBron. Like you can't even name another person.
I'm talking about the first run in two parts. Look at that first run in two parts.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. Not the one that he took. Not the one that he completely, in my opinion, dunked his way to the finals when he beat Detroit. Not that LeBron had no team. The team he left to go to Miami, which to me I thought was a good enough team to win the championship. And
he left Miami. The team he left in Cleveland.
He had Antoine Jameson.
Antoine Jameson was a proverbial all star. See, I can't give you that. We're talking about – you're looking at the players. When you're referring to Scotty, Scotty's a top what player?
He's a top 50 player.
All right.
But Michael Jordan made him that way.
Look at Kobe.
Playing with Michael made him that way.
No, when he left – Antoine Jameson was a – was Antoine Jameson. You're talking about – if you want to be real, Antoine Jameson,
he was
right, was an aging player.
Hall of Famer.
We're talking about an aging Antoine player. An aging player. That's not even Antoine Jameson in his prime. They let him go to Washington. Antoine Jameson Washington wasn't even the same Antoine Jameson in Golden State. So to be real, LeBron has never played with a player in his prime in Cleveland. In that time, he didn't. So it's like to say that what LeBron had to deal with why he left Cleveland.
Did LeBron
wasn't doing
just play with Kyrie Irving?
Kyrie Irving. Yeah, I think
Kyrie
part one. You said Cleveland part one. You said Cleveland part one.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry.
Cleveland part
right,
one.
I did.
Go to your argument.
Go ahead.
All right,
stay there.
So Cleveland part one, he had nothing to work with, and he had to leave because that organization wasn't giving him parts to win with. That's a situation nobody had to deal with. You want to refer to Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant wanted to leave L.A.
He wanted to leave L.A.
No. Kobe Bryant, he had to leave. Kobe Bryant wanted to leave L.A. He was going to leave L.A. if they didn't make a move, and they made a move and got Pau Gasol. So they helped, and Pau Gasol in his prime, they helped Kobe get player with him after, you know, obviously the whole Shaq situation. Huh? Let's not forget, in their prime, when Pau Gasol was in Memphis, he was carrying Memphis. He got traded from Memphis to LA at the same Pau Gasol. So I'm just saying, again, to the argument,
after the first year, he aged very quickly. I felt he aged in 3 years.
He aged in 3 years. In year two, the year they beat Boston. See again. Go back to the stats. The year they beat Boston, he played soft against KG. Even though he was still putting up stats, KG was the best defender at power four. You know what I'm saying? He's a power four.
He's a defending power four. I think he's better than Tim Duncan. I wouldn't say that. If Tim Duncan ever had those championships, he wouldn't be there. But go ahead. Let's stay with this.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so you go to, and in Pau Gasol the year, when they played Orlando, Pau Gasol 8. Pau Gasol was still Pau Gasol for three, four years.
Who was Orlando?
Then he got Orlando to stop the Lakers? Dwight Howard.
That's all they had was Dwight Howard and Jameer Nelson. But I'm just saying your point.
You got Powell in his prime. He got Powell. But Kobe wanted to leave. He wanted to play with the Clippers. That's what I want to say real fast,
Wally. This whole thing right there, the narrative that you're painting, that you're saying, hey, they didn't give him anything. Did he stay for them to give him anything? I understand that athletes, for the first time, and LeBron, I think LeBron James is the first athlete to say, you know what, NBA owners, that in other words, other places say slave owners, I'm going to take some power and I'm going to do what I want to do. I give him kudos for that, and I respect and my power comes back on unless they got a generator. Okay.
I'll give you an example. Let me finish. Go ahead.
Okay? Because it's hot and I'm sweating and my power's coming back on. All right? So we're going to get this out. You're in the car. You got air on your face. Let me get some air on my face. When LeBron, when you say, I believe in the way that Indiana and those guys say, that's just me. Am I outdated? Let me just ask you that one, Wally, and you'll go from there. Am I outdated by saying players stay? And you give the team, and I cannot believe from what they've done for LeBron in the city that they wouldn't have tried to give him a championship. I don't know. It's just my belief that I think they would have tried to do the same that they've been doing. That's all. When you say he didn't have no help, I thought Boobie Miles, to me, he made a
Boobie
team. Gibson. The best LeBron James team I ever seen was the LeBron James team that sat there. Remember they take the pictures and they would pose. And they're on the little pictures they on the court.
I get Delonte West
knocked off his mama, and at that point, you got to bounce. Like, you're not going to sit here and smash my mom, and you're supposed to be my teammate.
I'm still trying to figure that out. That's why he really left.
Because you got, like, what kind of organization are you that you let another teammate smash my mom on the low? So that's why LeBron really left, because his mom was smashing the homies. Right? Nothing against
mom. What kind of mom you got that's going to smash your homie on the low?
I used to believe it too. Mama got to have a life too, dog.
But Allen Iverson's mama wasn't smashing nobody. You ever see AI's mom? Okay, I get LeBron's mom a little bit higher than AI's mom. She's a little younger too. I'm just saying, I thought, and I'm gonna get Jay Chris in here real fast. Jay Chris, am I wrong? I think we've had this conversation before. We've been on air for 3 years now, so I think I'm just rehashing something that I'm still passionate about. I remember that team in Cleveland, and I thought they had enough pieces. If you added one more piece to that team, you could have done something, because who didn't want to play with LeBron? I think he left Cleveland too soon. Am I wrong?
See, I'm listening to the argument. I'm trying to think of what they had. And I remember they had Zydrunas Ilgauskas. I remember they had Boobie Gibson. And I remember
Shaq was done. Shaq wasn't completely done
until he went to Boston. Shaq could still give them 15 and 10. Hold on.
Let's go back to the original conversation. One thing that you said, Mike, that I think partially will end up killing your argument, I think, is...
Oh, God. Killing it?
Hear me out, though. Give me a chance. Is comparing the eras. You said if you compare this, you got to compare the eras, right? And you talk about... You know, Magic in the '80s and Bird in the '80s, Mike in the '90s, and you know, so forth and so on. That in this era, since, let's say, 2005 or so. I don't have stats in front of me to tell me who won all the championships. But there have probably only been maybe one team with one Hall of Fame caliber player that has won the NBA championship in that time. And beyond that, but I'm just talking about in this era. So, I mean, you had the Cleveland Cavaliers when they won a couple years ago. They had LeBron, who was a Hall of Famer. And who would you say on that team was another Hall of Famer? Just remind me of who was on that team.
Kyrie Irving will be a Hall of Famer.
Kyrie Irving was on that team.
Kevin Love will be a Hall of Famer.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Great. Golden State Warriors had maybe three Hall of Famers. Last year, probably four.
That team's a stacked team. I'm not denying that.
That's a stacked team. Most of the teams that have won championships lately, before that it was the Miami Heat winning championships. They were stacked. That's another stacked team.
LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Miami Heat.
That was the Dwayne Wade team
that won a championship wasn't stacked. Dwayne Wade had Shaq. That team was not stacked.
Alonzo Mourning played 10 minutes. He played his butt off. You have Shaq starting, and then you got Zoe coming off the bench.
We're not talking about how somebody was playing. We're talking about prime. Was Alonzo Mourning prime? Was Shaq prime? No, they wasn't. Dwayne Wade led that team. It was a good team. Hold up.
Before you get loud, hold up. Answer me this. Hold up. Fall back. Was Alonzo Mourning not the best center coming off the bench that year?
Exactly.
In the entire NBA?
That's what I'm saying. Bro. He was.
In the entire NBA.
By the way, Brian Tag on everyone. The year that Mike's talking about, here's the full roster. Daniel Gibson, Danny Green, J.J. Hickenson, LaJunas Nogalkis, Cedric Jackson, Darnell Jackson, LeBron James, Antoine Jameson, Kobe Call, Jamario Moon, Shaq, Anthony Parker, Leon Poe, Sebastian Stansel.
Such a great team.
Anderson Varejao, Delonte West, Jawan Williams, and Mo'Keef Williams.
How many of them are even still in the league?
Exactly.
You know what? I didn't say you had a stacked team. I said they were
That team was terrible. They won 60 games.
You can't be terrible.
I refuse for anybody to tell me
that a 60-win team wasn't a good team. Answer me this. Was that team probably the worst team
to ever play in the NBA Finals?
No, it was not.
Who was the worst team playing in
the
game?
The Dallas Mavericks team that beat LeBron.
Was Jason Kidd and Dirk Nowitzki
Jason Kidd's career was over.
That's the worst team.
He was hanging on by.
Hold on. Jay Craig, say what you had to say, because we're talking over each other.
All I'm saying is that team that LeBron took to finals was probably the worst team to ever go to the NBA Finals. That team that Dirk Nowitzki, when they beat LeBron and them in the finals, that team was a very good team. That team was a solid team that I would compare to. They're not as good, but I would compare to how the Cavaliers look right now, because they have solid pieces. And I got to toot my horn. I have it on record. I predicted the Dallas Mavericks to win the championship that year before the season started on my show that year. So that team was not on the new Twitch show. It's recorded. Mm-hmm. You can't call a team that won the finals the worst team to ever play in the finals. You can't do that when you have that LeBron team.
You asked me a question. I didn't answer it. That's all. I didn't do anything wrong. You asked a question.
But I got to disagree with that. I mean, you had a team. You had Tyson Chandler on that team, right? Tyson Chandler, Dirk Nowitzki. You had DeShawn Stevenson. You had Jason Terry, Jason Kidd.
I'm not saying that we're a historical squad, but that was a stacked squad.
See, I think we're missing the part here, and maybe to you, what's stacked to you doesn't seem stacked to me. When I think stacked, I think Miami. I think what Boston had with the big three. I think what Golden State has now. I think stacked.
Agreed.
When I hear that. When I think Shaq, Kobe, and whoever, because Shaq and Kobe. But I think
the Shaq and Kobe teams were stacked. The Shaq and Pau Gasol teams were not stacked. In my personal opinion.
Kobe,
I think we lost Michael.
Kobe, you're talking about the Kobe and
The Kobe and Pau Gasol teams were not stacked.
When they had Lamar Odom and Ron Artest.
Yeah, Lamar Odom. They had Trevor Ariza 1 year.
And they had Lamar and Artest to me, they were stacked. Like they were stacked. And you
they had Artest.
And Bynum was good.
I don't think that they were stacked. Neither
they
one of those guys were all stars at the time. They were both on the tail end of their career.
I feel like as a deep squad. I mean, I think we get infatuated with like when teams are stacked when they're big three. You got a big three or whatever. But as a whole, we look at the roster they had. It was a really, you could put that roster against any other NBA team and say, you know what, that's a hard roster to beat. Especially
I'm not saying they weren't good. I'm not saying they weren't good. They were a very good team. They're champions. But
yeah,
they weren't stacked.
That
Lakers team was
not
stacked.
They're not going to be. I'm not going to call them Golden State stacked. No, not at all.
I wouldn't even call them Miami Heat stacked.
No, I wouldn't.
But fellas, if I may ask, right? Here's what raises the question, and I don't know if Michael's getting at this or not. But one of the questions that I had for my basketball aficionados is that this, okay? The one thing that players made sure they fought for was to be able to move because they were getting the short end of the stick. They were getting the shaft on a lot of these deals. So LeBron James does what he does, and I don't really knock LeBron James for his move. I just knock him for how he moved. I knock Kevin Durant for his move because of where he moved to and the situation and the circumstance and the context of the team that he was moving to. Granted, I still give him credit as a basketball player. I still give him credit for being the best player on the floor in that finals. I don't take that. I don't take any of his ability away from him. What I take away from him is the man. What I take away from him is his man card. But Kyrie Irving chooses to move. Russell Westbrook chooses to stay. And you know, Mike, to your original question, are you an old fogey? I wouldn't say that you're an old fogey when it comes to it. The league is different now, and the players have the ability to be more empowered now than ever before. They take their destiny in their hands and bet on themselves more so now than ever before. They can collaborate because the league can't find them for collusion. They can find
that. It's not that
they
though,
can't
Mike.
They can't find each other for tampering. Hey, yo, Chris Paul, you want to play with me?
But it's not that. Here's the thing, right? And again, this is where you know we all believe in God, right? Some go to church more than others. So those who go to church every Sunday, King Vaughn Jr. 720 Twitter, you Micah, you Wally, would know when I say 1 foot in and 1 foot out members, right? I don't want to. That's where I sit with this conversation because I get it. Like, yo, screw you. Like this whole CM Punk thing. Oh, you're not gonna give me what I want? Peace. I got money. I'm out. I give them the right, but it's still that part of me. But whatever it said, however it's wrong, I fought LeBron for going to Miami despite it's Cleveland versus Miami. I don't fault what Boston did because it was the organization that said, hey, it was the willing and deal. That's me in the purest of how I grew up loving sports and what I accepted from sports is that, hey, the team put that team together. I can't hate as much as I hate the Yankees, I can't really hate them for how they won championships because I wish my owner would be George Steinbrenner, may he rest in peace, to spend money on an organization. I just look at it differently from that side of the spectrum, and the team does it, not the players. That's all.
Here's the thing, Mike, and to go back to what I was saying earlier, most teams lately, and I can think back, and that there's a majority of teams have had a big two or three to win the championship
forever.
And LeBron was in a situation in Cleveland where that wasn't happening. I mean, he gave them many years to bring some pieces in, and those pieces never came in. But that's not the point. You cannot want to go. If nobody wants to go to Cleveland, then what you supposed to do? You got to leave Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he went to Miami.
Yeah.
Did anybody come there?
Now he goes back to Cleveland. Now everybody wanted to play in Cleveland.
No, I disagree. I still disagree. They still haven't signed a free agent. Worth a damn. They still have him.
But what they did do was they bought in a lot of pieces. They signed Dwayne Wade.
That's my point.
Which is my point. Here's the thing. Here's where I fought
Dwayne
Cleveland. Here's where I fought the organization.
He's no good. Look at him.
Hold on. This is where I fought the organization. They went after the names, okay, the former GM. They went after the names rather than going after. Mike, let me finish. They went after the names instead of going after the pieces. Now, his first go-around with Cleveland, they went after pieces, but the pieces stunk. They were terrible. Terrible pieces. I wouldn't even want the pieces. Because of LeBron. They won 62 games because of LeBron. You don't want to hear it, but that's why they won the 62 games.
I didn't want to
because
hear it.
Of LeBron.
I didn't say that.
I'm saying you didn't want to hear that argument, but that's what it was.
You take LeBron off that team, they might win 30-something games.
It's like when Jordan retired and the team still went to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what I mean? That they had a team. They had good pieces.
You take LeBron
off that 62-win team, they may not make the playoff. Probably won't.
Just to prove Jay Chris's point, the very next season when he went to Miami, they had one of the worst coaches ever. They had one of the worst coaches ever, and they had 19 wins in 63.
We all know that they suck without LeBron. That's still not my point, but I get it. I'm Gilligan. I'm all alone on my island. 347-637-3859. The hatred for LeBron that I used to have was just rebirthed. That's all. I can't get rid of it.
I blame Nick Wright for that.
I want to see what he does with these pieces around him now. And Jalen Rose said something yesterday during the broadcast that I think I was trying to say on Friday, but he said something that is so true. The pieces that they had before the trade deadline were pieces that LeBron went up against, and they saw him as a peer. The pieces that they have now are people that see LeBron as he's LeBron. I'm gonna learn from him. I'm gonna do whatever I need to do for us to win. You know what I mean? And the team because we have an opportunity to do something here. And I think that's gonna work wonders for the Cavaliers.
Let's see if he's the king. Let's see if he's a true king because
there's no superstar.
Go ahead.
There's no superstars. There's no superstars. It's just him. So other than Kevin Love, when he gets back, there's no real Hall of Fame player. He'll be
the second best player back on that team, which he should have been all along, in my opinion. Because Kevin Love was a 2015 guy before coming to Cleveland. You know, so and you could help me because listen, he called us all basketball aficionados. I will never say I know more about basketball than you two. I know you guys watch the game a lot more than I do. College basketball, I can go ahead and argue. When it comes to the NBA, I'm a distant third to you guys. So, but I will say this much. Rodney Hood's a player.
No one got the shit in Utah.
That's all I'm saying. That's a very good player. He's a very – with his team. Because who was Kyrie Irving before LeBron? He wasn't an all-star.
He had all-star skills. He's a loser.
I'm not saying he didn't have the skill, but he only got noticed because Cleveland got noticed because LeBron. So Kyrie got noticed because he was the team that LeBron left, right? No one pitches into Utah. People in Utah don't pitch into Utah. They're too busy at Sundance, okay? Yeah. So let me ask you this, Wally. Alex Smith is not the new quarterback of the Washington Redskins. Right now, the Washington Redskins are sporting the longest Super Bowl drought in the NFC East. What will it take for the Washington Redskins to catch up with the Philadelphia Eagles, the cream of the crop of the NFC East this coming season?
They're gonna have to focus on the defense, and hopefully that's more on the draft. And they're gonna actually have to get another speed wide receiver to play with, for Alex Smith. And Jordan Reed has to be.
Is Jamin Crowder the guy?
No, he's not a speed guy. He's a slot guy. You know what I mean? You want to use a comparison to what you in Philadelphia, like a Nelson Aguilar, a slot guy. So Jameson Crowder will be in the slot, but I need a speed demon on the outside, just to help out. Alex Smith. You want Alex Smith to have some similar weapons that he had in Kansas City. You got tight ends here, and he's got familiarity with Vernon Davis. He played with Vernon Davis in San Francisco.
And then you can pair that off with Jordan Reed. You know, hopefully he's healthy, and you'll have something offensively. On the defensive side, I think that's something the Redskins really have to focus on. I think they've been fixated over the years with trying to bring, you know, have offensive weapons. I think it's time for them to kind of tailor that thought process a little differently to defense. So they can do that, draft well defensively, bring in another inside linebacker, some more speed on the defense side of football. I think they'll be better. They'll be fine. Don't forget, injuries didn't hamper this team. They were playing decent defensively until the injuries hit them. So
the defense is something they're going to look to address in the draft.
They have to focus on. They have to focus on that and free agency too. And they got to re-sign some of their guys. Zach Brown's free agent. Maybe they have to try to re-sign Junior Gillette too. So that those are certain things they need to kind of get situated in house. But outside, try to sign some extra free agents, and also the draft. The draft is going to be very important to this team.
Are you believing and trusting in Jordan Reed to stay healthy? Because we saw a difference of a quarterback that Kirk Cousins was once Jake Reed went down. He wasn't quite the same guy anymore.
I think Jordan Reed will be fine. I mean, he missed the whole year, basically. I mean, I'm a guy who's not fixated on injuries. A lot of people are. I think injuries are fluke, unless, you know, obviously it's a concussion or that situation where that kind of can be redundant and repetitive. And Jordan Reed does have a concussion situation issues, but his has been more the body and the physical ailments within his body. I think, you know, to me, he has a whole year. He had a whole year to get healthy. And I look at it as any other player. You know, if he's there week one in the preseason and training camp, and to week one, the Redskins should be fine. And also they have Vernon Davis, so they don't have to give him all the snaps in the world. And I think, you know, Alex Smith having Vernon Davis will be good for him, and it'll be good for Jordan Reed too, just so he won't be on the field as much. He can rest his body a little bit more.
347-637-3859. Still having computer issues over here myself. Got to reset my router, which means I would lose everybody, so I'm not going to do that. But here's my – that's what it is, right? I don't know. Power goes out, stuff supposed to come right back on. Doesn't work that way, I guess, right?
No.
This is America, what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? He has the code to the bombs. Right. So we got – like I said, we're going to do a short show today, get out here at 6:30 instead of 7 o'clock. Congratulations to Ivory from WWE going into the Hall of Fame this year, getting her Hall of Fame nod, best known for the Right to Censor. At least I like Ivory in Right to Censor more than I liked her when she was separate in the WWE. I think Ivory was also a diva, quote, woman wrestler before her time. I think she was in a time where she, Jazz, and Miss Jackie probably were the only ones. This is the early beginning stages of Trish Stratus. This is when Lita was still with probably S.A. Rios coming out of that, going to Team Extreme. So she didn't have that dance partner, I think, for Ivory. But Hall of Famer, hey, congratulations. I think all people who perform in the WWE who were on the main stage and had a lengthy time there should be a Hall of Famer. So that's my pick. Congratulations to Ivory for going into the Hall of Fame. But I would like to talk about the biggest movie coming out this year. We know there's an African king in Wakanda, although we have our own African king here. His name is Wally Wow, who is on the program from the DMV. So, ladies, he's authentic. He's nothing fake, no fluff about him. He's a true African king, and he's here on the program today. So, for those who don't know,
ain't that the truth?
Black Panther comes out this weekend. Please roll the trailer for me, Micah. Let the people at home know what's actually coming out this Thursday.
You're telling me that the king of a third world country runs around in a bulletproof catsuit? Why don't you ask him yourself? Because he's right outside. Bingo.
My king.
Stop it.
The Black Panther lives.
He's coming.
That damn car.
Watch me do my.
I hope you're ready, bro. I'm just getting started. Let's have some fun.
Show off. You don't want to see me getting into the shit. They just want to see me swimming in the pool.
Black Panther has been the protector of Wakanda for generations. Now it is time to show the outside world who we are. Now that I have your attention. I have seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine. I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this. How much more are you hiding?
Hold up. Let's go.
Tell me something. What do you know about Wakanda? It's a third world country. Textiles, shepherds, cool outfits, all a front. Explorers have searched for it for centuries.
Yeah.
The Golden City. It's a technological marvel. Called it El Dorado. They looked for it in South America. But it was in Africa the whole time.
Don't freeze.
I never freeze.
The revolution will not be televised.
I'm the only one who's seen it and made it out alive.
Found out what we truly are, what we possess. We could destroy the world.
Show me my respect.
It is my duty to protect it.
And bow down.
My son, it is your time.
表の顔は国王.
The king of Wakanda is here. How much more are you hiding?
I have great things to show you. It is lighter. Completely bulletproof. And it absorbs energy for redistribution.
Take me to the king. Yeah. Black Panther.
I waited my entire life for this.
You were not my homie. Cause we own him.
The world's gonna start over.
I'm gonna be on top.
What do you want?
I want the throne.
Stay home,
brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
The revolution will not be televised.
Soon, there will only be the conquered. And the conqueror.
Step into the spotlight.
You are a good man.
Step into the spotlight.
With a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
Black Panther, courtesy of Marvel Studios, right there. Hit theaters this Friday, special screening this Thursday, starting everywhere around 7 p.m. But the question I want to ask you guys, because it is being talked about everywhere, all the time, that's all they're talking about, and that, and I'm going to start with you on this one, Wally, being the true African here, I'm African-American, but you remember your people. Has the black community oversold this movie? Let me rephrase that to the sense of when something powerful comes out with blacks, we tend to grab on to it really hard, and because we have been oppressed for so long in this country, we overemphasize things, we over-glorify things, whether it was people sticking up for the Trayvon Martin, you had the other side of the black people coming out saying, well, we have black on black crime every day. I don't see you fight for that, but they stood up for Trayvon Martin. Are you starting to see a trend with this also going towards this movie where this movie was going to do well by itself anyway, as it is a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, and it continues the storyline of what we've been witnessing from Marvel over the last 10 years? This is the beginning of their Phase 4 project with Black Panther. Is this a comic book thing, or have black people taken it over and made it a black thing?
I think a little bit of both. Obviously, black people came out, I mean, have seen this as, or seen this as their own. I mean, it's cool because, you know, we get to relate to a black superhero, right? And, we don't see that often. We don't see it often. And also, it goes even deeper than that. It goes back to our roots. You know, and for many, you know, for many African Americans, it goes back to the roots of being an African. So I don't look at it as anything. I don't look at it as like black people are now going about this, you know, in terms of an OC way. I look at it like, you know, people are proud. They're prideful of what this is about. You know what I mean? And I think it's cool. To me, I think it's pretty cool when you see people embracing their culture, embracing what their ancestors were about, and I'm cool with that. I don't have no issue with that.
Jay Chris, jump in there if you will. Because I look at this thing and I don't think it's too much. I think what Wally said to me pegged it, you know, probably the best way I think it should be pegged. But I am starting to see people who I witnessed, not that I know personally, some I do know personally, but over social media, that haven't seen a lick of anything from Marvel or not into the comic book universe, but because it is a black superhero, they're like, oh, boom, 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 they're going. And we spoke about it on last week how you're one of the ones who said you kind of find it offensive of all the people talking about dressing up and going out and showing support for this movie. You deemed it more of a Halloween thing. I myself and my family is dressing up because I find it being a respectful thing. But your take on this, have the black community taken this movie over to the point where it's not a superhero movie anymore? It's now deemed the new Malcolm X?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Black people have taken it over the top, but they should, because, you know, this is the first of its kind. This is the first black superhero movie where the superhero is not, you know, burnt up and dead. Okay. And
you're not talking about Blade there. Okay. He took a shot at Blade.
This has the opportunity to be.
So the Mac
huge.
Don't count?
I mean, I'm sorry?
The Mac don't count? Superfly don't count? Shaft don't count?
No, they don't count. That's like...
They weren't superheroes. They weren't superheroes.
Hey, Shaft was a superhero for the ghetto. What about Meteor Man?
I mean,
he was
a hero.
Man.
No, they're heroes.
He was a hero.
What about
he was a
Meteor
hero,
Man?
But
Blank
he wasn't...
Man?
Oh, come on now.
I'm going to address that.
That's what people are saying. And I've just seen that in the text now, actually.
Here's what's different. Here's the difference between those movies that you just mentioned and this one here.
Mm-hmm.
We see a black superhero that is a king of an African nation, right? And it's not supposed to be funny. It's actually a superhero movie. When I say it's not supposed to be funny, I refer to the Coming to America was supposed to be funny. He's a king. He's a prince of an African nation, but it's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be fake, right? Meteor Man and Blank Man were both superheroes. Blank Man more of a vigilante. But they were both comedies. Now you have a black superhero from Africa being taken seriously, being part of a Marvel franchise that's the Avengers, that's probably the biggest Marvel franchise in the last 10 years. Okay, I'll even take it as far as it's bigger than X-Men, okay? Now, there's an opportunity for this movie to be huge. And when I say huge, the way I see it now, I mean, maybe it's just me just imagining things with my business like mine. This could be huge like Star Wars huge. And the reason I say that is right now you have young black actors in there that are, you know, doing their thing growing in Hollywood. But you also have your Forest Whitakers. You also have your Michael B. Jordan. He's young, too. And you also have your Angela Bassett.
Friend of the program.
As this continues to grow, it could be huge where you have backstory, you have prequels, you have sequels and stuff like that, and you can add strong black actors in, you know, the entire thing. What my hopes is they don't mess it up like Spider-Man and Transformers and some other movies where they just really messed up the franchise.
Right.
I just hope it doesn't happen.
But Marvel, as much as I was talking about with my wife earlier, I think, like, with DC, right, just put this out there, I think DC, and when it comes to movies, is the baseball number. When they get 3 out of 6, 7 right, that's good for them, right? They're betting baseball numbers. Where, to me, the Marvel is betting NFL quarterback numbers in the Super Bowl, 80%, 70%. Because I don't think all Marvel movies hit. I think, you know, Ant-Man was just okay. I think Thor's were just okay, besides the last Ragnarok. I think outside of Iron Man 1, the other two, especially 3, was crap to me. Doesn't always say I thought Ant-Man was just okay. I thought Guardians of the Galaxy 1 was good. The second one was just okay. So I don't think they all hit in this. But I think this movie, with all of them there, J. Chris, has the potential of being great. You mentioned Star Wars-type numbers. Let me put this out there for you. This movie is tracking for $165 million opening. It already right now, and pre-ticket sales have $125 million in pre-ticket sales for this movie.
Add about 50-some dollars to that because I just bought mine today.
Okay.
Bought my tickets today, so add 50 more dollars.
You're going IMAX?
No, let me clear something up for you, Mike, because what you just said is awesome. Well, I bought 3 tickets. I had to buy one for the game.
I like that.
I want to clear something up for, because what you said is awesome just now. But when I said Star Wars franchise, I meant movies on top of movies on top of movies.
Right. I didn't really even think about the numbers.
Like the numbers could be. I think that goes without saying right now for this one. And as long as this one hits, the next one's going to hit too. As far as the numbers are concerned.
I think he's hit to the point. The soundtrack is and I'm not sure on this one. I may be speaking out of turn. If you guys have a chance to listen to the soundtrack, please listen to it. And I want to do some more research. Maybe King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter can get some information for me. But I've heard the album. It's a young album, meaning, you know, it has a newer kind of feel to it. But I really, really dig it. And I thought that the guys that were – I felt that he went out and seeked artists that I never knew. So I wonder, like, their songs, are they really Swahili that I'm hearing in this language? Like, I feel like the video to All Stars with him and SZA is just amazing. Okay, and the traditional African dances that are in the video and things like that. So I think we mentioned this before. We got Black History Month. We got Black Panther. We got the soundtrack, the directors, the
Black
cast.
Lightning.
Everything is great. Black Lightning. Everything is so pointed to Black right now. I think it's a perfect time. So I don't mind the stuff that's coming out. But Micah, who I've deemed on Twitter as the modern-day Uncle Ruckus, might feel a little different. Micah, your take on the overemphasizing that people are putting
Uncle
on
Ruckus? Oh yeah, he wanted to go ahead and call me Uncle Ruckus and stuff like I'm rain on people's parade. And see,
you
that's
got
the reverse vitiligo.
You got reverse vitiligo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's fine. But anyway, one of the things and one of the perspectives that I come from when it comes to this is more so my dealings with the Black Twitter mob and the people on my timeline.
Black Twitter
have such low self. Yeah, I'm just saying they have such low self esteem that everything that, like you just said, Mike, there's a lot of stuff that we went through as Black people, yo. A whole lot of stuff that we went through, like real racism and real oppression and real Jim Crow. Not so much the stuff that we're going through right now. A lot of that stuff that we're going through right now is self-imposed. Some of it's still out there. A lot more of it right now. Self-imposed. That's my opinion. You don't have to agree with it. That's perfectly fine. That's why I make more money than you. Not y'all in the program. So I'm talking about science and Black Twitter. But the thing what gets me and always gets me caught up is that I love the history that we have had in our country. I love my Sidney Poitiers who really mainstream things, my Josephine Baker, who really mainstreamed us, who actually had to fight and really work hard. You know, Paul Robeson, from a music perspective, you know, no one expected a Black man of his stature, of his size, to be able to carry and have this wonderful tonal baritone and to do his things and cross over to opera. Like, these people actually fought for something real, real big, right? And then I understand, Jay Chris, when you were talking about the caricatures. Totally understand. I ain't even going to knock you for that. I understand. King, even though we had Coming to America, we had the Media Man, we had our Black Man, we had positive representations of Black men and have positive all-Black cast long before
this Black Panther movie came out. And what got my goat was that it seems like that culturally now, because they did this with Wonder Woman last year. Culturally, everyone seems to be playing what's called identity politics, where they want to be so hard on their own stuff that if you're not part of that particular group, then you're excluded from that group. And the funny thing is, what makes me most mad is that if a person who is not black question why all these black people are acting like this, because if a white group wanted to do an all-white screen of a certain movie, y'all would call them racist. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes when it comes right down to it, there's some double standard stuff. And in my timeline is blowing up with people who, like I said earlier, have some really low self-esteem. Like, they don't know, like, they do know there was other things long before Black Panther. Oh, but it wasn't the level of epic. That's because the emphasis on superhero movies really didn't get started until these last 10 to 15
years. But see, Micah, that's where
I, if that's
I could,
what I'm
if
saying.
I could, if I go ahead.
I want to add this to it though. Like, we gotta also put in play the temperature of this country right now. And I think let's not forget,
Thank
the president has stated about black people,
right?
And what we
right.
saw in Virginia. And what this movie does bring is the importance of, you know what, black people are worth something. And remember that, you know what I mean? This all cast is powerful in that. And just remember the message of where we are today. Now, granted, it's not nothing. I don't like comparing, like we talk about in sports. It's hard to compare eras. You know what I mean? Like we talk about in sports and what people had to deal with in the 50s and even beyond in terms of real slavery. You know what I mean? Like that's something that we all can't imagine or fathom. But in today's world, when people are telling you you're not worth a darn thing as in terms of your president and what other people are saying and the climate of today and within, you know, what we see in social media and just in life, that this movie does represent strength for black people. I do want to, like, in today's times, it does represent strength.
Hey, Wally, let me ask you a question. Do you need a movie to represent how strong you are?
You're missing
Say
a point
again?
There, Michael.
Do you know? I'm dead serious. I'm not even trying to be funny. I understand your point, but what I'm saying is, do you, as a man who actually has an African background, who actually understands what it means to be African American, do you need that movie to actually show your strength?
No.
In your workplace, in your life?
People, But some people, you gotta understand. Some people use whatever to give them strength. Knowledge.
I'm not knocking them.
I'm answering your question. Regardless of what I look at, you know what I mean. I look at day to day strength within my life. But there are people, like, you know what I mean. There are people, and I'm not gonna take that away from anybody. There are people that, you know, this something like this gives them pride. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, I'll give you a prime example. Like, the Nigerian Olympic team, those girls doing the bobsled thing, that gives me a sense of pride. But does that impact my day-to-day life? No, but it does
Not
give
all.
Me a sense of pride. You know what I mean? Like, so this movie, for people, like, for instance, that maybe they may, when they're seeing certain things that are going on in the world, say, you know what? This is cool. This gives me a sense of pride. Like, this gives me an element. It's not giving me the whole thing about what I am as a person. No. But
right.
in terms of a little piece to say, you know what? Wow, all black cast,
and I'm
wow,
gonna pick that.
In our history, that's amazing. So that's what I'm saying. I see what you're trying to say, but I'm just saying that you got to take it like a piece of it. That piece does mean
I'm gonna
a
go
lot.
A step further.
You know what I mean?
I'm gonna go a step further because this doesn't have me feeling like I felt when President Barack Obama won. No, it doesn't. But I'm one of those people who I take pride in this. When I look at, I constantly argue. You guys know that I'm very argumentative.
Duh.
Right. But when I look at this. And I work in a predominantly white area, right? But everybody that I work with is either Nigerian or Haitian or Puerto Rican or black. To me, it's something this small, Mike. And I think when I say the point, I know you're very intelligent. You know I love you, and I always respect your opinion. I just think, as I do sometimes when it comes to sports things, I think when it comes to things of the black community – sometimes I think you're a little bit hard on us and don't try to see the other spectrum of, to some people, this is big. To my family, this is big. I remember I talked to my son. I said, you know, I was 41 years old when I went to Disney World. He said, what? So you just told me we went last year. The first time you went was last year? I said, yeah. I said, you're spoiled. I said, you're 10 years old. Your brother's 9. You're 8. Y'all have seen 2 world champions. You didn't went to Disney World. You know what I'm saying? I didn't live this life. You know what I'm saying? I came up where I was told I'd be dead at 16 years old and black was not represented well. I saw a meme yesterday that said, what happened to when all the black colleges was emphasized on TV? When you saw on Living Single and Cosby Show and Martin, everybody had the FAMU universities and the Tuskegee University shirts and represented black colleges. You don't see that no more. Black right now, they have ripped our culture from us and made it their own. So for us to get in the world right now, you mentioned it yourself, Micah, where superheroes should have their own category in the Oscars, right? Put them under adventure, action, whatever, right? But they're the biggest things going on right now. Nothing makes more money than superhero movies, like them or not. Transformers sucked, in my opinion. But it's
those
still gross,
but those
billions of dollars. Right, but my fact of that is that in the world of what's happening today, for the world to look and say, there's a black superhero, and he's a king. He's not beating his wife. He's not on drugs. He's not on crack. He's not a pimp. He's an African king, and he kicks ass. That's huge, Micah. That's huge. That's so big, so many times.
I'm just saying,
To your point. That's all. Go ahead. I think you have
to. I totally understand where y'all come from.
Mike,
once again, you do this thing, Mike, when you say that I don't see it from another perspective. But I do see it from another perspective. That's why it ticks me off so much that people, folks who look like us.
I'm telling you right now.
That's why it ticks me so off that a history rich and culture rich people as we are have to use this movie as a means to, like, and like Wally, I understand what you're saying, a piece. But some people aren't using it as a piece. Some people use it as a half. Some people use it as a freaking whole. Some people, and everyone got their own thing they got to latch on to. I'm not knocking the movie because I'm going to watch it with my wife.
But you can't knock
Yes, I am. And here's why I'm knocking the people that depend on this movie. Because they have the God-given talent and abilities to be what they want to see in that movie already. And they already had it. And they pissed it away because they wanted to make sure that someone was an excuse as to why they couldn't do it. And that's what makes me so goddaggone mad when I see the kids that I have to teach and they sit here and act the way they act. And the parents that come in behind them, they act the way they act. But the movie is supposed to be transformative for their life when they have the tools. Let's say, Mike, you are 40-plus years old. You know what it was like when you didn't have Google, you didn't have Internet, you didn't have the level of technological advancement as you do right now, the connectivity that you have to right now. The stuff that we have
put
out.
You know what, Micah?
The style
like
that we put out, the music
Micah,
that we put
I
out,
never,
should have been better than this.
I never cared about black-on-black anything when I go in a black-on-black area. I had scholarships to Jackson University, to Grambling. Hold on, to what you're saying. Black people, for as much as we have come up, there's still that group of us. This is why we always argue in the black community about black-on-black crime and we're fighting each other, the end fighting, because there's a demographic of black folks that just refuse to come up. There's a group of black folks that just don't know about coming up. I grew up in a very poor South Chicago side area. Not that I lived in the projects. My grandmother had a home, but the area I grew up in, I didn't care about black things. My wife, when I first met my wife and my mother-in-law, I was so outdated with black on anything. I didn't care about black things. So the fact that black folks have now taken a nudge to care, I don't care if they got on because it took Trayvon Martin getting killed and Tanya Rice and these things to happen to us to take notice. The fact that black people are taking notice, I'm cool with that. Because no matter what happens, because they beat us down so bad for so long, we're never going to see eye to eye. We're never going to see eye to eye. So the fact that we're seeing eye to eye on this, I'm going to let them rock out. Go ahead, J. Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to, and I know a couple of guys has spoke about the pride of the movie, the pride they take in the movie. And I take some pride in the movie as well, but I take it from a different perspective from what was already said. The sense of pride I take in movies, I always, Mike, you and I have had this conversation many times. I watch a lot of TV. I've seen a lot of movies in my day. Okay. And, you know, one of the shows I watch over and over again, Sanford and Son. Okay, I watch Good Time, watch Cosby Show.
you know, we look at shows like Friends and Living Single, and we've compared them, right? And mm-hmm. Living Single came out first, and they said Friends kind of took that thing. Here's where the pride comes in for me. This is a movie with a majority black cast, okay, that, you know, it's not necessarily shedding a bad light. We're, like you said, we're not pimps, we're not thugs or anything in this movie, we're not cheating or anything like that. Of course, there's a bad guy and all like that, but it's a superhero movie with an all-black cast, and it's not very often that you have a movie with an all-black cast where they show us not in a negative light, and people from other cultures, from other races, really uh-huh. want to see the movie. Because that doesn't happen very often. I mean, I remember like movies like Best Man, which are both movies are extremely
yes.
good to me. I love those movies. I've been in the movies with multicultural audiences in that movie, but it doesn't have the hype that this one has from all the races. I was watching Good Morning America this morning, and they had kids dressed, because Chadwick Boseman was on this morning. They had kids mm-hmm. dressed up in a Black Panther, in a Black Panther costume, and it wasn't just black kids. It was white kids and all like that. And, you know, it's rare that you see that. And if you look at, like, Mike and I are not too far from age, we're about 5 years apart. I can look at old Halloween costumes that I had on. You remember the mask with the plastic face, the
mm-hmm.
rubber band
right.
behind
Sweat
your
ass off.
Yeah, to breathe out the little slit.
Yeah.
I can remember there being like a Hulk Hogan. I can remember being like there was a He-Man, you know,
no Black Panther.
Stuff like that. There was no Black Panther.
There was no Roblox.
You know what I mean?
There was
Superman. There was Batman. there was no Junkyard Dog. And like I said, the sense of pride for me is that you see young white kids wanting to be the character played by a black man. And that is, you know, that's something that we haven't seen before. You know, I mean, we just don't see that very often. And I personally take pride in that, because in most cases, people from other cultures don't want to be anybody black. It's like Chris Rock said, you can take any white person in the room, they wouldn't trade places with him. And he's rich. So,
I love what Vaughn wrote. He said, a white guy created Black Panther so that black kids could identify with him. If Black Panther was created by independent comic book writer / people wouldn't care as much. Black Panther transcends. And because you're right there, Vaughn, that same white creator also created Power Man, better known to people as Luke Cage. Luke Cage isn't a king. Luke Cage, for what it's worth, is a criminal turned vigilante good. If you look at Black Panther, something that you just touched on there, Jay Chris, spoke about the bad guy in the movie Killer Off. You know that he's not really a bad guy. He just misunderstood. He sees differently than what the king sees. And see, he doesn't like how the king is handling things where the king is, so he thinks that his way is better. Think about Loki. It puts things in perspective, right? And most good villains don't really know they're bad. It took Lex a long time, Lex Luthor, so Superman, to really know he was bad. Not the Gene Hackman version, right? But if you go to the comic books, you go to Smallville.
Yeah.
Lex
Smallville,
wanted,
yeah.
He just wanted better for the world. He just wanted better for the world. And then his views were different than us because we're normal. You know what I'm saying? We're millionaires.
Uh-huh.
You look at Tony, for what it's worth, Tony Stark can be looked at as a bad person for what he did building Ultron in the movie.
Yep.
He had a dream. Well, I don't want this to happen. So, and this movie, Black Panther, to finish this off, it just represents very well. That's the tweet. Black Panther represents very well for the black community because it doesn't show us for the first time ever in a bad way. Go ahead, Charlie.
And even deeper than that, you know what I mean? Like, I know people, you know, we're going to look at for black folks, but also to me, what I like about it that we don't ever see, and it's what I think is cool about the character, it just shows you how important Africa is, man. I mean, Africa
yeah.
is just in general, period, man. And, like, a movie that now has embracing Africa. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people remember, like, when I was younger, there were so many African jokes. Like, real talk. Like, it was so many African jokes.
Mm-hmm.
By black folks. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
You're right.
And now,
you're
having
right.
this movie out, and now everybody's embracing you know, being African, being African descent and whatnot. And that's cool, you know what I mean? Like, I used to, I ain't gonna lie, like a couple years ago, I used to laugh at people who used to rock dashikis and stuff. Cause I was like, you probably were the same person who made African booty scratcher jokes and this, that, and the other. And I used to think to myself, like, oh, wow, it's trendy now, isn't it? Cause it's trendy, it's real trendy.
Let me ask you this, Wally. Let me ask you this. People who, cause I'm in that seat. I'm in that boat right there, what you said. I didn't know that I was being disrespectful. I told a story to Mike, to Jay Chris the other day about when I was a kid and I was in the Boy Scouts. And we went camping, and the other kids in, you know, the group made fun of my dad. My dad had hair like Ron Simmons did back in the 80s, right? And they were like, oh, your dad looks like buckwheat. I didn't know no difference. I didn't know that I was offending my father. So when I was saying to African kids and just other black kids, we heard their joke, you know, baby kids type stuff. You mentioned, you said it. It took me until I was an adult to realize, so that was being very disrespectful. You know what we call the Indians in the hood, right? I can't say it on air. I did not know that was disrespectful because that's all I thought. I thought that was what we called them. You know, Busta Rhymes of the song, getting that money. You know, I thought that was what we called. My wife said, babe, that's, you don't say that. I said, that's what their name. She said, no, that's not their names. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Jewish people, you, short for Jewish is, you know, what that word is, right? That's disrespectful. I didn't know that was disrespectful. So when I would say African booty scratcher, I had no idea that I had a representation in everything that you're scratching your booty, right? Not saying that y'all don't know that, just speaking from my experience in that world because, and I'm like you, Wally, you're African and I'm not, you know, meaning I am African-American, but you know what I'm saying? I can't have time to explain it to people who are not wise enough to understand that super intelligent sportsman. I used to make fun of people like, you're not African, why are you wearing dashikis for? Right? It's my wife to tell me the meaning of these things. And like Jay Chris mentioned on Friday, if you don't know what it means and you're not representing it very well, you shouldn't wear it. You got to be able to educate. And I think, if anything, with little Micah, who's going to be knocking people out soon, and my kids and your nephew and your nieces and your kids you will have one day, Jay Chris, this is a time for – we're in a world right now where we can educate our kids for them to see things that we never got to see in our lives, that we're seeing right now. This is why it's such a big moment. We go from President Obama to the celebrity in chief. That shows us to show our kids. You see the difference in an honorable person to a non-honorable person? You see how this country took this election from us and how they changed things? So if all you have is a little hope of glimmer of a 2-hour and 14-minute long movie to say, boom, there it is, as the song would go back in the day, whoop, there it is. Micah, I love you. And I love your pen. I love your synopsis on that. You're right, because that whole Complex magazine offer thing about give 25% of the proceeds to black communities, that offended me. Maybe it didn't offend me. I was offended. Like, what do you mean get 25% of the movie? Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Ryan Coogler, those guys already paid. Marvel's making all the money. Those guys got paid. Marvel's making all the money. So they didn't give money to the black community. Everybody says NFL players and NBA players, they're millionaires. They're not the billionaires that's paying him. If you can pay Jimmy Garoppolo $175 million to one person, what do you think the owner's making?
Exactly.
What do you think the NFL is making? But you guys come after the individuals. It's unfair. And what Michael's biggest point here, I think I'm probably trying to understand, is just learn stuff. Don't let this come out and forget there was history for Black Panther. Black Panther's going to be great.
Thank you.
Enjoy it for being great. But there were other things. But we're going to enjoy this one. We're going to love this one. We're going to love it. Listen, guys, tonight after Monday Night Raw, come back Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Around the Block with Mike Knox is Black. It's black. I am black. It's back. Give you my review of the night leading up to WrestleMania. Come join us. We'll be back on Friday. Friday's Wally's last day for me. He got some homecoming things coming up. Baseball season about to start with Jay Chris, so he'll be coming in and out with us. The Doozy Awards will be back. We're going to discuss them. Probably, you know, get them out there on the internet, let you guys vote on the worst in sports over the last year. I almost forgot about the Doozy Awards, Jay Chris. Can you believe that? I almost forgot about the Doozies. Okay, but we get them out when there's something to talk about in sports, and we argue about LeBron James 45 minutes. So clearly, no, there's nothing to talk about in sports. Best and worst of the weekend, all that good stuff will be back. Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat and don't love God. That's crazy, y'all. Black Panther soundtrack coming at you live
and in living color in 5, 4, 3, 2.
You're telling me that the king of a third world country runs around in a bulletproof cat suit?